Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, your host, and I am so excited to be starting this radio show. So today is our very first show. I thought I would give you my background on why I feel qualified to help with this radio show and help disseminate this knowledge. Then I want to share about our regular guests that we're going to be having throughout the year. And then I want to start with some esoteric knowledge right here today so you can start thinking possibly in a new direction from where you have before, or at least with new considerations. So I was born the middle of five girls. And being the middle child, as everybody knows, you're the extra, you're the spare. And so I had a lot of freedom. And at the same time, I had wonderful parents that were teaching me different things about life and common sense. And then when I was in eighth grade, my mother met a lady, and it's a long story how, that's unimportant, but her name was Afra Wesch, and she was one of the very few astrologers that Hitler had not killed. Leonard Nimoy later put her on the show and interviewed her for In Search Of, because not only was she an astrologer, she was known for having 100% accuracy. And she started teaching my mother. And how I got to meet her is I came home from school one day, also in eighth grade. A lot of things happen in eighth grade. And I said, Mom, I think so differently than everybody else. I'm thinking I need to go see a psychiatrist. And my mother looked at me and said, I'm going to make you an appointment with Afra. And after you see Afra, if you still need to see a psychiatrist or feel that you do, we'll talk about it then. When I met Afra, she literally laid out my entire life plan for me, even the dates that I would be given birth. And they were very accurate when my children came because I was looking at my notes that I had made when I was 13. She was an incredible lady, and I came home very inspired. And one of the things that she had said is that we all take our life in segments. Some people, it's a 7-year cycle, some an 8, some a 9. And that literally one of those cycles is going to be worse than all the others. And one of them is going to be better than all the others. And she looked at me and she said, you are currently in your worst, but you only have one more year to go because you're doing 7-year cycles. And that gave me hope because as it was, I was not happy with anybody. I wasn't happy in the home, even though my parents did the best they could. I wasn't happy at school. I literally hated everything. And I thought, what a mistake. So when I came home from listening to her, I thought, everybody's giving me different information. I need to find out for myself. So I decided to earn my own Bible because there wasn't one that I had access to. And there was a local church that if you memorize different things for over a year period, you could earn your Bible. And I went down there and I said, well, what if I want to do it faster? I don't want to take a whole year to get a Bible. I look back and I think I should have known that they gave free Bibles at hotels, but what we don't know, we don't know. And so for 6 weeks, I memorized as much as I could every week, which is my least favorite skill, and then went in and recited these parts of the Bible so that 6 weeks later, I literally had my Bible. Then I decided I wanted to finish it by the end of eighth grade. So I took the number of pages in the Bible, divided it by the number of days that we had left in the school year, and said how much I needed to read every night. Now, I had heard from many people because I was going to a different church or synagogue or temple every single Sunday, trying or Saturday, attempting to get answers. Already I was doing that. So I decided that I would read every single night and see why everybody said to read it on a consistent basis. Well, it didn't take long, and I got this voice over my left shoulder, and the voice was filling in the gaps. So when I read something, they'd say, yes, but they translated this a little bit off. Or what you don't know is the history of the time, and so this is what they were saying in that time period, and that's how it would translate to now. So in my nice little youthful ignorance, I really thought that they tell you to read the Bible every night because then everybody gets the audio edition and you get that voice over your left shoulder. So that became the beginning of my voracious reading. I was already reading biographies all the way through, thinking as an elementary school student that if I read about other people's histories and famous people and what they did right and where they made their errors, that I would learn from the best what errors not to make in my life. So here I was when I was reading the Bible, I decided that every year I would take a big book and read it. So the following year was the Bhagavad Gita, then the Quran, then the Book of Mormon, and I just kept reading different books every year. In the meantime, I also read everything I could get my hands on. All the books that came out from Edgar Cayce, Jane Roberts, Ruth Montgomery, White Eagle, Dr. Eugene Whitworth, I could go on. I was a voracious reader. I read at least a book a week because to me, I was hungry. I wanted to know why life seemed so difficult and what we needed to do to make it better and why we were here. And what were people telling me that didn't feel right? Was it truth? Was I off? Did I need to learn to be different? I mean, there were so many questions all the time. And I dug into books and buried myself into books because I thought that was very important. And I just had a lust for life. I wanted to know then all the knowledge that I possibly could. So as life went on and I just kept reading, and at the time, because of my age, what it is, it was very few people that were doing what I was doing. I found two friends in high school that had a similar interest, and I was always hungry for my conversations with them. And I would get so excited, and I would go up to one of them and go, oh, I realized this because of what I was reading in the book last night. And that friend would look at me and say, yes, and here's another piece of that. And I'd think, my gosh, I'm always the caboose. I'm always the last one to know anything. And so for much of my life, I have felt like the caboose. And so it just caused me to want to read more, learn more, because feeling like the caboose isn't always the greatest feeling. And then I remember the time when I was literally in my 40s, when somebody said to me, you know, the train goes in both directions, so sometimes the caboose is leading. And I thought, well, that's a good aim at trying to make me feel better, but it's not important who leads. It's important when you catch the knowledge, how you can apply it in your life, and what you learn from it. So eventually, after college, I started teaching school, and that was a great lesson in itself. And I was always searching, though, for my own next teacher, even as I was teaching mathematics to all these students. And so I met somebody in the Air Force and got married, which means that we constantly moved. And I actually got married in Germany, okay? And that started me on another path because there wasn't a lot of books that could help me read and satisfy my hunger. And so I started meditating. And I had really started meditating on my 18th birthday in college as a gift from my oldest sister. But now I started exploring in different kinds of meditation and taking a lot more than 20 minutes twice a day to do my meditation. It became my daily practice. And I want to say, if you want your own answers, the most efficient way of getting your own answers is through meditation. It is not that you get answers during meditation. You go into meditation and you're thinking, in my meditative state, I am sitting here to clear out anything that's in my way of receiving answers for the rest of the day. Another way of looking at meditation is saying that when you pray, you're talking to God. And when you're listening, that's meditation. You're giving an opportunity to absorb whatever is coming back to you. And regardless of when it reveals itself, you're still absorbing it. There is always a benefit to meditation. So for the 3 years that I was in Germany, I did teach school, but I also spent a lot of time meditating, which was really wonderful. When I came back to the United States, we got stationed in San Antonio, Texas, and I started seeking out people that could be my next teacher. Who can I learn from? Who can take me to the next step? I'm still hungry for spiritual knowledge. And so I started with this newsletter. It started with six friends because the person I was married to said, "You're spending too much time on the phone keeping everybody informed." So I started a newsletter that was 4 pages that eventually grew to 20 pages. It started with 6 people going out to 6 people. Within 2 months, it was going out to 2,000 people in the city of San Antonio. It was my tithe to the universe. And on the front page, I would say each month, this is who I'm sponsoring this month that I have found I'm learning from. And on the insides, it would say what everybody else in the city was doing. So if you want to know where to go, what kind of information you were seeking, you would know who to call, when to show up, and where to show up, and what the cost would be. And so I started this wonderful newsletter and went out. And like I said, once a month, I was sponsoring somebody. And because of that, I had an interesting experience. And that was a lady named Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, showed up at my door one day. And I answered the door and she said, "Sharon, we have gone everywhere around the city and asked, how do you get known here? We would like to be known. How do you get known here?" And every single person gave us your name, your phone number, and your address and said, "So we'd like to get known." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, come on in." She was with her husband, Jerry. I said, "Let me put my dinner on hold." And I said, "I don't sponsor anybody who I haven't experienced their work because we're using my discernment whether it's valid or not. So if you're willing to give me a 20-minute sampling of what you do, then I'll discuss whether I'm willing to sponsor you." And so that is how it came about that I sponsored Esther and Jerry Hicks that channels Abraham. And they came to my house. They came on a Tuesday night. By that Friday, I had over 100 people in my living room all ready to hear Esther Hicks. She was amazed that so many people could show up on such short notice. But remember, my newsletter went out to 2,000 people. And what we had learned to do is I would call a few, then those people would call a few, and those people would call a few, and we would get the word out there. And for Esther Hicks, we said, "Who's the most people that are leading things around the city? Let's call them and have them exposed first." And because of that, and because of others, we got to know a lot of very talented people who became teachers for me. Remember that I was always seeking more knowledge. I'm just like an insatiable dish that can never get filled up, because it's the only thing that I've ever found in life that I don't eventually get tired of or bored of. I danced ballet professionally for years, and eventually one day I woke up and I said, "I don't want to do this anymore," even though it allowed me to travel and it kept me in great shape. It was like, okay, I'm done. Then I went into swimming, and I used to swim a mile a day, and I did that for years. And then one day I woke up and I said, "I don't want to do this anymore." And it seems to me that everything has its moment and its time. And then you wake up and you go, "I think I'm done with this. I've learned all I can in this area." But not in spirituality. It's like there's always more. There's always the next step. There's always the next revelation. And the real key is, can I take that revelation and that information, and how do I apply it in my life? Because just having the knowledge is useless. It's literally when you have the knowledge and are able to apply it, that's what makes it really good. Aristotle had said, "It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought and not necessarily accept it." And so that's what I was doing. I accepted some. I put plenty on a shelf until I got more information. And others, I would outright and go, "That doesn't fit in with everything I've learned to this date. I'm rejecting that." When I wasn't sure, though, it went on a shelf. And often later on, more information would come for those ideas that were on a shelf until I would know whether to discard them or to accept them. So the only mistake I made while I was doing that newsletter, and I consider it a big one, we're all human, is Stephen Halpern wrote me and said, I would like to take out an ad in your newsletter. Could I do that? And he was starting his profession also. And I wrote back, I don't take ads, and I don't take money for this newsletter. Everything's my opinion. And so I turned him down, and I look at his wonderful music today, and I think, that was so silly of me. Why didn't I just write back and say, send me a sample of your music, just like I did for everybody else that wanted to get in there, or, you know, or wanted to be sponsored, and let me see if I like it, and then I'll just tell people about you for free. And so, anyway, we all make mistakes, and hopefully we all learn from them. And so I had this growing list of how many people got my newsletter. And it was really exciting to see the growth of the city and how many people I was exposed to and how many ideas I was exposed to. And then we got the notification that we would be moving to Japan. And I thought, how do we keep this going for the city so it just doesn't drop it one day? And so there was a new bookstore that had opened, and I gave them my list and said, it's appropriate that you have my list of names and numbers and what everybody's interested in because you're a bookstore and you're selling these kind of spiritual books. And therefore, that continued in that direction while we moved to Japan. Japan was a very interesting time for me because there was no stimulus. There was not a book I could read. There was nobody I could talk to about any of this. I hadn't met anybody that was on this kind of pathway. And I realized how my soul got so unhappy. And people actually started getting worried about me and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I thought, I'm not growing spiritually. I'm not getting stimulated. What can I do? And so I was very happy after the 2 years when we came back and got stationed once again in San Antonio. Now, just as I was generous in giving the list to the bookstore, the bookstore did not want to let anybody know I was back because they had literally taken over. So I started again. And I've realized that through 53 moves, I have started again and started again and started again. But the commonality through my 53 moves was always my spirituality, my growth, and wanting to know things. And it's why I have traveled to India to spend time in an ashram with Sai Baba, to Thailand to study with Japu, to San Francisco once a month, even though I wasn't living in California, to study with Dr. Eugene Whitworth, who wrote Nine Faces of Christ. Why I've traveled to Idaho to study with J.J. Dewey, whose first book is free, by the way. He's still very active in teaching. And it's free on freeread.com. And I have studied with various people so that I could keep learning and also keep sharing what I have learned. So what good is it if you learn something for you and are not able to share it? I would consider that a little bit greedy. You know, oh, look what I've got, this information. And all the way along my entire life, it's been, if I know something, I want everybody to have access to the same knowledge to see if it can also assist you. Take it. Reject it. Think about it. It doesn't matter. Just the thought process of entertaining some of the ideas we're going to be presenting for you in this radio show really makes it where it's fabulous. Now, we're going to be breaking for our first commercial break, and we will be right back afterwards to tell you about the wonderful guests that I have lined up for the show.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility. knowing you are supported by the universe.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Remember how I said that when I was reading the Bible, I heard this voice over my left shoulder? And welcome back, by the way, to Luminescence, Common Sense, Spirituality. And I'm just continuing the story for a little bit more. I heard this fabulous voice over my left shoulder. When I stopped reading the Bible, that voice went away. And it didn't come back until I started meditating on a regular basis. When I was 18, I had my first birthday in college, and my sister, who was practicing TM meditation, said, "I'm going to give you this for your birthday, because this is how you get that connection that you're seeking with God and with spirit." And I said, "Okay, and what is it?" And she goes, "Well, it's a way of meditating. It's a way that they do it in the East, and it takes 20 years of meditation to get this connection." And my thinking was, well, if it takes 20 years, I best get started. I look back at that today and I think, oh my God, why didn't I say if it takes 20 years, that's too much, that's too long, I don't want to do that. But I didn't, that wasn't my reaction. And so I started meditating on a daily basis. And periodically, the voice that I had heard when I read the Bible every night is the same voice that would come through and make little comments here or there about what I was doing, what I was choosing, or guidance, or steering me in a different direction. The voice became a regular, solid voice when I was 36. I had been meditating daily for 18 years. And that voice came through in such a way that they would say, "You know, for this one, if they just knew this, they could be helped. This one just needs this little guidance. This one could just use these supplements and they would become healthy again." And therefore, this group that started talking to me on a regular basis is whom I call the light keepers. And even to this day, I do readings where I get out of the way as I'm a conduit for the light keepers. And through the light keepers, starting in my seventh year of teaching, when I was 26 years old, because I started teaching when I was 20, they started coming through and saying, "Did you notice the patterns in people's names? Have you looked at this?" And for 15 years, they gave me hints and suggestions and guidance on how to figure out the patterns in people's names. So it took 15 years, but I can tell you all the patterns that show up in a name. And it's literally a science that was jointly created with the light keepers and myself, where we can read your contract with God, your purpose for this lifetime, what your soul wants, what your personality's like, what's going to be the highlight, what your focus is per year as you're going through. And all of those is what I call name readings for namology science. And the light keepers have told me that one of the signs of a true channel or a true conduit is that they're bringing through new information or old information looked at in a new way. And there are some incredibly talented people that are able to do that. And those are the peoples. Remember, I started sponsoring people way back when, once a month. Some incredible people that are just highly talented. So over the years, I have met more and more of these incredibly talented people. And I am so excited for this show that six of the most talented people that I have met are going to be regulars on this radio show. So every odd month, you're going to get to hear about Lori McQuarrie. And Lori McQuarrie, when I met her in 1999, was just remarkable with her accuracy and with her ability to go back in time and see past lives and past history and go forward in what was coming next. She today often helps police with different things and solving different things, especially missing people. And she gives readings today. She keeps attempting to retire, but people like me keep bringing her out, and then more and more people want her services. But she's wonderful, and she will be my guest next week and on the first week of every odd month. In the second week of every odd month, Sandy Anastasi will be with us. And Sandy Anastasi is known for teaching people the skills because she has all of them. And for example, she taught John Edwards, who is very well known for being a medium. But she could name off plenty of big names that she has taught, and very talented and just so very natural. And the way she looks at the world is a little bit different than most because it's all driven by spiritual principles. Then on week three of every odd month, we're going to have Sherry Anastasi with us, or Sherry Anshara, sorry, with us. And she has died multiple times. It's like six or seven or eight times now in her life. She has died and each time collected more information, traveled more places. She speaks with what we would call ETs, aliens. I don't know. I sometimes think we're all aliens. We came from somewhere. Okay. But she has a totally different way of looking at our life and what we're about and what would work and what doesn't work and how we're trapped in the matrix and how to get out. So the third week of every month, we're going to have Sherry Anshara. Then the fourth week of every odd month, we're going to have a special guest, somebody else I know who is fabulous, and have them come on the show. So if you think about it, the fourth week of every month, or 12 special people will be coming on during this year. This first month of January, we have Julia Griffin coming on. And she got her talent. She talks with animals and helps heal animals and sends energy. So we're going to have, it's a little bit different. And so we'll have her on this first month. Then on every even month, we're going to have, again, remarkable people. The first week of every even month, we're going to have Susan Rowland on with us. And she is a fabulous medium. Now, she's very psychic, can see futures, but her real gift is being able to talk with you as if you're talking with your loved one that has passed over. And it's just amazing how she almost like transforms with her energy field and literally lets them overshadow her so that she can speak. And I'm sure that's not how she would describe it, but that's how it feels when she's doing that, when I've experienced it. And she is just remarkable in her knowledge. She came in with it from a little child. It's like there's never been a veil. And she will be sharing with us what she has learned from both sides of this veil. Then on week two of every even month, we're going to have Susan Klopstein with us. And Susan is a medical intuitive. And what she does that I think is so remarkable is that she can literally transverse herself and go all the way back in time to wherever the disease or the discomfort or whatever originated the ailment that you're now experiencing. And she yanks it from there and pulls it all the way to the present and dissolves it, or tells you what you need to do if she requires some of your conscious help in dissolving it. And literally with her prayer work that you get to hear on your tapes and when you're working with her, literally, it disappears and it dissipates. I have had people call her when they've had an emergency in the hospital, and she'll go in and she'll say, oh, this is going on. This is what they're going to do next. And then this is what's going to happen. And let me go in there and tweak a little bit, and then we can get it to go heal in this amount of time instead of what the doctors tell you that they'll tell you this time. And it'll come out exactly like what she says. Just an incredible, incredible person. I look at her as the angel that they sent from heaven that's right here on earth with us. Then week three is Pat Robertson Rice. And Pat is a spiritual coach. And I had an experience with her when I was living in Japan. I heard about her and called. And what was amazing to me is what she told me when she went through my life, I thought, she's really good. She's very accurate. And then when I asked questions and she gave me the answers, I went, okay, she's not too good at this part, you know? And then when we moved and I looked back at the reading and listened to it again, I went, oh my gosh, every single thing she said came true, even though I had such a disbelief at the time. And I always think it's good to suspend your belief sometimes when you go, eh, I don't know about this. Okay, and then listen to it later and see what has really happened. So Pat Robertson Rice works like nobody else I know, so differently than everybody else I've met, and is just incredible and has her own way of looking at things and how she connects with spirit. So we're going to have her on the third week of every even month. And then again, because it's the last week of the month, we're going to have a special guest. And Vincent Jenna said he would come in February for the first time on our show. And he is what is called a double psychic. It's he can hear both sides of the veil. He's got all the gifts and talents like Sherry on Char. He just uses them differently. And so he's a very interesting person, and we'll have him on. And so we have the six regulars, and you'll learn to have your own favorites and how they look at things that'll resonate with you. In the meantime, we'll be looking at things from different directions. Now, our first guest also, sorry, I misspoke. Vincent's coming in March. Who we have coming in February is Marilyn Raphael, and she writes a newsletter called The Arcturian. And to me, that is the most advanced knowledge that's coming out every time she writes. That is the cleanest, purest, most advanced knowledge that I've been able to read on a regular basis, where I'm not going every single time, okay, knew that already. Okay, I already got that understanding. Where's my next teacher? And she is absolutely incredible. And I am so delighted that she said she would join us in February in the last week. So as you can see, we have quite a lineup. I am so excited to share all these people with you so that you can gain from their knowledge and their expertise, because each one of them, my regular guests and my special guests, what I call, has been working on spirituality, living spirituality, asking questions, doing their spiritual work ever since they were young children. It's like that's what they came here to do. And each one of us serves in a different way. And what you'll also notice about every single one of us is that we have a strong sense of self, and yet our ego is our friend and not getting in our ways. And so it's a very interesting way and that we all work, and we all give answers. We're all very good at what we do, and yet we're all incredibly different. But we've come together to provide answers for you. And so every show that we have, the last part of the show, we're going to say, please call in, ask your spiritual questions. Now, we don't want personal questions, because that's what you do in a private. We want spiritual questions that you want more understanding. You want to learn more about how this universe works, about what something really is. Is this idea an airy-fairy idea? Or is it common sense and something that's real from a universal law and not something that's been tampered with to try to mislead us? So we'll have the most interesting shows with all of these guests and different ideas that we will be discussing. So when we come back from our next break, I'll give you an example, lots of examples of some of the ideas that we look at differently, just to get you started on what the show is going to be all about. Stay tuned. We will be right back after this commercial break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Are you feeling lost, confused, absolutely clueless? No way out, over, under, or through? Then it's time to have the Light Keepers, through their conduit, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, guide you by shining their light, illuminating the right path for you. Let Sharon share the wisdom of the ancient masters to guide you on what is coming next for you and to show you the silver lining in your current circumstances. Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for a joyful, info-packed Light Keepers session.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth with Luminescence, Common Sense, Spirituality. And I want to give you in this part of the show a preview of some of the things we'll be doing and how this is going to be working on this wonderful show that we are all creating together. And I would like to start by quoting our February, last week in the month, guest, Marilyn Raphael, who channels the Arcturians. And this is such advanced knowledge coming through. It's just a joy to get her newsletter, which you can sign up for absolutely free. And in one of her newsletters, she wrote, and I'm now quoting her, "Fear is no longer a facet of your consciousness because you have evolved beyond the need for it, but will occasionally be tempted to invite it back in. When the temptation to give power to fear or other negative emotions arises, don't resist, but simply pause. And silently remind yourself, I am. These two words carry powerful high dimensional energy that will recenter you when and if embraced spiritually." Then she continues, "The energy of the three-dimensional world is rapidly changing and manifesting outwardly as chaos. When high resonating frequencies of light pour onto low resonating ones, the result is a stirring up of everything in and of a lower resonance. Higher resonating frequencies dissolve the lower resonating ones, and this is taking place now in the world where many do not want anything to be dissolved." So that's the end of the quote. So I look at that a little differently. But the same thing. I look at it as if you're cleaning out your cupboards in the kitchen because you're going to paint everything, including behind the cabinets. You know, they're at the back of the cabinets. So you take everything out of all the cupboards and they're laying all over everywhere. So you don't have any counter space or table space left because all your stuff is out and it's easy to be seen. Then when it's all out and looks very chaotic, a lot more chaotic than when you started to do your cleaning, you then go in and you say, okay, I'm going to clean everything and get everything ready to be put back. And as you're putting things back, you decide, do I still want this? Is this still useful? Am I giving this away? Do I still want to put it in the same place that I had it before? And so when you're done, you have more room. It's cleaner. It's neater. It's nicer. And you've gotten rid of those things that no longer serve you. And I look at that's what we're doing in our world right now. We are pulling everything out of the cupboards and everything is out to be seen. And some things are mothy and they've been bad for a long time and they've been around so long. We've just taken them as assembly that, yes, that's how things are. And that's how they'll always be. And yet when we pull them out of the cupboard, we want to wash them off before we put them back. We want to make sure that what we're putting back on the shelves is nice and clean and works for us now. And this is also the time that we will be getting rid of, over this next couple of months, the things that no longer work for us, the things that no longer hold true, the things that no longer have the resonance that is agreeing with where we're all going. Same as you would get rid of those things that no longer are going to go back into your cupboards. So we're here to experience knowledge that your soul already has. So the example I will often give is that the soul already knows that E equals MC squared, but the soul doesn't have the experience to go with the knowledge that it already holds. So it comes here to Earth and it says, now, I want the experience. When do I use the formula E equals MC squared? When is another formula better? Do I have to ever tweak the formula? It wants the experience to go with the knowledge that it already holds. So when we talk about the lessons that the soul is here to learn, I don't look at them as lessons. I look at them as the soul is desiring more experiences in those areas. It's not like we did something wrong and now we got to learn our lesson. And as Sherry Anshar would say, if you're learning about less on, then that means you're a moron. But anyway, that's her words. And so as you're looking at this, it is literally the soul wants to have a greater comprehension of the knowledge it already holds. And therefore, it desires experiences in seven main areas so that it can gain those experiences that will gain and give itself more comprehension. So that's what the soul is doing. And that's why it comes to planet Earth, because it's faster for the soul to learn it here than somewhere else, because souls like to be efficient. Okay. I wish to share a story here with you, and I'm just switching different ideas all the way through just to give you different samplings. And I want to share a story with you that we used to have so many people come to the front door who wanted to, quote unquote, save us while preaching their religious understandings. Because the philosophy is the more the merrier. So if I can get you to join me in my religious beliefs, then that makes me more right in my religious beliefs. And when they would come and say, we want to save you, I would immediately ask these people, save me from what? You know, and that question, more often than not, they had no clue how to answer. What was coming? What are you trying to save me from? The best answer at the time to me was to save me from having to be reincarnated. Okay. And I thought, yeah, maybe. But then my guides indicated that if it mattered to you that this is your last life, that you don't have to come back, then that was a definite reason why you would be coming back. Because in able to really grow and understand the spiritual principles, you would understand it doesn't matter where you are. What matters is, are you taking advantage of the opportunities for growth where you are? And it doesn't matter where you are, because there's always opportunities for growth. So if it was really important to you that this is your last life here, then that's a guarantee for you that it's not. Because when it is your last time around, you say, okay, well, I'll miss this place, but I'm ready for a new adventure, because everything has its time and everything has its place. And speaking of everything having its time and everything having its place, we are in an absolutely delicious period of time when all people are being asked to choose what frequency do they want to resonate at. Are you going to choose to go to the lighter frequency? Are you going to choose because you're more comfortable in the denser frequency? Where's your comfort zone? And notice that I didn't say higher or lower, because that implies that one's better than the other. And this is an incredible time period that we're in, because we're coming out of duality. A lot of people say, oh, we're living in the end times. And I would go, end of what? Beginning of what? It's the end of duality and the beginning of what is called allness. Now, notice I didn't say oneness, because we're not all one, because we're not all the same. And I don't want to mush and lose my individuality to become one. And yet I want to be in harmony with everyone else that's here. So we call that allness, that we're all together in this, and that we all respect and appreciate the other people that are here with us as we join in allness of accepting everybody for who they are. It is our differences that are exciting. Our sameness is boring. Just imagine if everybody did everything just like you did, how boring that would be. It's like, where's the differences? Where's the challenge? Where's the inspiration for new thought? It's all the same. And so it's not oneness, it's allness. Anyway, just an idea to throw out there, okay? And there's a lot of ideas that are things that we've been taught or shown that I have questions about. One of them is that we're all mirrors of each other. And I think, no, we're not. There's a lot of people I have worked with over the years in various ways. Some have been murderers. Some have been thieves. Some have some pretty nasty traits. And if we're all mirrors of each other, that would mean I'm the murderer, I'm the thief, and I'm not. They're not, everybody around is not a mirror for me. However, everybody that I work with, I can learn something from. Everybody has a gift to share with everybody else. And the real question is, are you willing without judgment to interact with somebody that even disagrees with you violently just to hear what they have to say, to see if it gives your thinking something else, a different kind of thought? It's the reason that I spend time reading all the various sides of the political views. And I've done that, and I read newspapers and hear things from other countries as they're looking in on the United States, because it's a very different view of what we have. And I don't think they're mirroring us. I think we all have something to contribute that helps each of us individually grow. And that is something to offer that is not a mirror, but an invitation. The other thing I wanted to say on this particular show is to remember that God did not say, go down to earth and be miserable, but you can do it. It's going to be a horrible experience and it's really hard to be there, but by golly, you're tough. You can do this. But instead, he created this incredible Garden of Eden and then given us the free will to see what we do with it. And since we are co-creating our lives, and a lot of people teach we create everything, we're co-creating with spirit. And that's why things pop up that you go, wait a minute, no way would I have created that. Okay, we're co-creating. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us this year to decide how are we going to co-create in this incredible, remarkable gift of a place called Earth so that everybody has a more joyous time. Now we're going to end today's broadcast with the beautiful inspirational song that you've heard at the very beginning of this broadcast. It's called Shine by Dee LeMure, and that's spelled the capital D apostrophe LEMOR. And her music is just beautiful. And you can hear more of her music by visiting dlemure.com without the apostrophe. And Shine is also available in all streaming platforms. But that's what this year is about, everyone. This is the year we all get together and we all get to shine. And I am so pleased that Dee LeMure has graciously granted us permission to utilize her music every single week. And if you just take time to listen to the words of this beautiful song that she wrote and that she sings, hopefully it'll settle your soul and bring hope, just like it does when I listen to it. I think it is most beautiful. I want to thank you so much for joining me on the very first show of Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. And as of next week, we will have guests every week, wonderful spiritual discussions. And it will be just delightful if you will join us every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time. And here we go for the great song, Shine. So this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off. Enjoy Dee LeMure's music. Thank you.
so long ago, gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. Of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen, and all that she knew, and all.